Greetings, salutations, and happy 2026. Oh, wait, we did that already this year. Welcome to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 28, brought to you by Cap'n and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. My name is Chris Albrecht. I'm Director of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. I edit the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, and I also produce and host the West Texas Catholic, the audio version on Catholic Radio. So glad you are with us this week for another edition of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast. And we have a fantastic guest that we're going to introduce to you, and I think you're going to see her a lot for quite a while here in the Diocese. Diocese of Amarillo, a native of Umbarger, Carlin Hochstein will be joining us. Carlin is the new Family Life Director for the Diocese of Amarillo. We're going to talk about her journey to this job and what she hopes to accomplish here in just a couple of minutes. Plus, we've got all kinds of diocesan news, and yes, we are ordaining a priest. Well, not we, but Bishop Zurich will be. On Saturday, January 31st, we'll talk about that and so much more in just a couple of minutes. But first, if you would assume an attitude of prayer, let us pray a prayer for religious liberty, something we should never take for granted and always look to strengthen in our church, our world, and in our society. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My dime's worth of opinions, which are not necessarily those of the Office of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo, or of Cap'n, or of the diocese itself. First and foremost, folks, we need some moisture. Yes, we're going to move into a La Nada or neutral weather pattern here sometime in the next couple of weeks, but it is bone dry out there, and this is not good news for our wheat farmers. So please pray for favorable rains and snows. I would even take a snowstorm right now for our farmers and ranchers. They need the moisture, and they need that help. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the broken, the uncertain, the disturbed, the confused, and the discerning. Keep in prayer our three great seminarians. Boy, this is the last time I get to mention his name as a seminarian, too. Deacon Mauricio Valadez, Richard Escalante, and Benjamin Siegel. Find out more about vocations, amarillovocations.org, your one-stop shop online for anything and everything that has to do with vocations here in our diocese. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you for all you do for us. Your efforts do not go unappreciated here. Now, let's get on my soapbox for just a minute. The general elections are coming up for the midterms on Tuesday, November 3rd. Step number one in this process for you is to get registered to vote. Okay? Get registered to vote. Number two, do your homework on all the candidates, all the party platforms, all that stuff. And then number three, whether it's in the primaries in March, the runoffs if we have any, or the general election on Tuesday, November 3rd, and I know you're going, that's so far away. It'll be here before you blink. We'll go through summer just like that. Get yourself registered to vote. As Catholics, we have a moral obligation to vote in elections, folks. So get yourself registered, do your homework, get out and vote. We'll see you at the polls. A couple of other quick things before we bring in Carlin. AmarilloDiocese.org, WestTexasCatholic.org. There's always much more news on those two websites there. Like us on Facebook, Amarillo Diocese. We do post quite a bit up there. Keep up with all the great programs here on STCAPN.com. Next issue of the West Texas Catholic will be dated February 15th. The deadline's Monday, February 2nd for art and Thursday, February 5th for story ideas, photos, etc. We are going to have so much in that issue. We're going to have a recap of Catholic Schools Week in the diocese, a recap of soon. Can I go ahead and call him Father Mauricio Valadez? Because he will be ordained by the grace of God on Saturday, January 31st, and we're all excited about that here. And so much more. Plus, we'll have the Lenten norms and the Ash Wednesday Mass schedules in that issue. That's all in February, okay? Podcast, by the way, is at stcapn.com. It's just a friendly reminder. The next podcast will drop Friday, January 30th. So please join us. We thank you for your continued support. Please make sure you answer the survey at stcapn.com. When you don't answer the survey, David Wilson gets depressed. We don't like a depressed David Wilson around here. When you answer the survey, we have to peel him off the wall with the human-sized spatula. Please, let us put that spatula to work and peel him off the wall. Why? Because we want to hear from you and make this podcast and our podcast network even better, especially in this new year. Joining us on the first podcast of 2026 on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 28, brought to you by Kappen, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo, is a new face inside the Diocesan Pastoral Center. Carlin Hochstein is the new Family Life Director for the Diocese of Amarillo. She began her assignment on January 7th. First off, welcome to the insanity that is the Pastoral Center, number one. Number two, you know, we see new presidents when they come into office, they're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and after the first term or the second term, they look all haggard and ready for a retirement or a vacation. We pray that will not happen to you in your time here.
Thank you.
Welcome. Tell us who Carlin Hochstein, besides being a child of God, is.
All right. Well, I am born and raised here in the Panhandle, born in Umbarger and attended St. Mary's Parish in Umbarger my whole childhood. My dad was a farmer. My mom was a teacher. I grew up with three other sisters. A lot of people knew us as the Hartman girls, and so we all look alike, so sometimes people would recognize us, but we wouldn't know who they are, so we always said, just be nice to everybody, because it might be that they're thinking, mistaking us for another sister or something. So very close with my three sisters growing up.
You mentioned St. Mary's Church, Umbarger, mm-hmm. which for a lot of people that have seen it will say it's one of the most beautiful churches they've ever walked into, whether yes. it be this diocese or not. What was it like growing up in that beautiful church, and when did you realize, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful?
I don't know that I realized what a treasure it was until I got much older, like high school, college, and started seeing a lot of other churches and a lot of the plain, more modern, blank walls. And I thought, I just grew up with pictures all around my church and thought it was normal. But yeah, I love going back. Anytime that I can go back and attend Mass with my parents, I love being back in St. Mary's.
And you are the daughter-in-law of one of our permanent deacons.
I am, yes. And I'm his neighbor. We live next door to my in-laws.
That's a little too close for comfort, don't you think?
No, it's great.
That would be Deacon Joe Hochstein, correct? Yes. From Holy Family in Nazareth, where you make the commute every day from Nazareth. God bless you for that.
I do.
Tell us about your husband and your family.
Well, my husband and I both went to school at WT and actually met at the Catholic Student Center there on campus. All my sisters went to WT, and another one of them met their spouse at the student center as well. But whenever I met my husband, we didn't date at first, right away in college. And once we started dating and got engaged and got married, we lived kind of outside of Canyon. But work took him to Olton, and it took me to Plainview. So then we were driving the opposite commute from living up here and driving further south. And so that's even how we ended up in Nazareth. It wasn't ever a part of the plan. It was nothing that we had even talked about. But I always say, now that I'm there and our kids are going to school there and we attend Holy Family, we'll never be anywhere else. We love it there in Nazareth.
And, you know, we talk about Holy Family Church, and a lot of people try to compare it to Umbarger, but a lot of people don't know that the stained glass windows in Umbarger were done also for Nazareth by the same company.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You learned something today.
Yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about your journey as the Family Life Director and what you're hoping to accomplish here. But there was something in your life that happened that turned you from kind of a lukewarmish kind of pro-life advocate to kind of a en fuego, on fire for pro-life.
Yes.
Would you please share that with us?
Yeah, I would love to. Like I mentioned, my husband and I met whenever I first went to college, but we didn't date right away. While I was in college, I was going to the student center, and it's just one of the really interesting things that I reflect a lot on in my life, because my time at the CSC led me on retreats and adoration, and I learned so much that, you know, growing up Catholic, sometimes you don't absorb everything, you don't pay as close of attention in catechism class as you should or whatever, and then you get older and start to piece things together about our faith and realize how incredible it is. So I was going through this time of really learning and getting active in my faith. And I think coinciding with that, too, I was being tested and tempted a lot as well. And so between my junior and senior year of college, I ended up pregnant, unmarried, no real, plan. It was all real unknown for a while. Whenever I had talked to the father, his first suggestion to me was abortion. And I thought, well, I'm Catholic and Catholics don't do abortion, right? Then I also thought, well, I'm Catholic and I can't ever let my family or anyone at the CSC know that I'm pregnant. And so, you know, the abortion industry uses such lies and such temptation to hurt the people that abortion hurts. And so what happened is I never thought that I would have to make that decision. I never really thought it would even be a decision until it was. And so then as I sat there and thought, oh my goodness, what do I do about this? And again, I'd never really given much thought to abortion. I thought, well, yeah, sure, abortion's wrong, but I had never formulated my own stance on it really. And so in that moment, I mean, I've been so blessed my whole life and I have a wonderful family, great parents, sisters, like I said, great support system. And so thankfully I felt that I was supported enough that I thought, no, I think I can raise this baby even with whatever, you know, shame and whatever consequences come from it. You know, I think I can do it. And so I chose life, but you know, I'm 10 years out from that now. My oldest daughter is 10 years old. And so over the last 10 years, I've looked back and thought, man, what do women who don't have the support system that I have, who are in that situation, that's an even harder decision for them. And so I really have a heart for not judging the women who are in those situations, but really praying for God to speak to them. And Jesus is the one who can transform people's hearts. And so I really have a heart for women who are in tough situations and pray that God can speak to them and that we as the pro-life community have such power in our prayers and in our advocacy. And we need to put that to use because, I mean, you would never look at your 10-year-old and say, oh, you know, what would I have done 10 years ago? Now, of course, I see it's a huge blessing. But 10 years ago, I didn't see it that way. And so it has just inspired me in my pro-life vision a lot.
How easy has it been to tell that story? Or can I rephrase the question? Was this the first time you've ever shared this story publicly?
Yeah, it probably is the first time as public as this.
Wow.
People in my life know, you know, my husband obviously wasn't the father of her, but we started dating while I was pregnant with her. God just has his hand in everything, right?
Yes, he does.
Because like I said, as I was growing in my faith a lot and praying a lot, attending a lot of daily mass, lots of rosaries. So I just thought, what am I going to do with this daughter? And then, you know, I didn't know if she was a boy or a girl at the time. And then here comes my husband in my life. And so he's been around for her entire life. We've had 3 more children since then, and they're all, I mean, just as close as they can be. And so looking back 10 years now, I can go, oh, this all worked out and God took care of me. But 10 years ago, it didn't feel that way.
Yeah, I can understand that. Our guest is Carlyn Hochstein. You're going to see a lot of her because why? She's the new family life director for the Diocese of Amarillo. She joins us on episode 28 of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast brought to you by Cap'n and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. Kind of sound like we were putting you through a job interview like we went through a couple of months ago when we had you come in to interview for this job. So let's talk about one of the things that we did talk about in the conference room a couple of months ago. What are your goals, aspirations, things that you'd like to get accomplished as the family life director for the Diocese of Amarillo?
All right. Well, I'm still very new, so we'll see how many of these dreams
there's a curve. Don't worry about it, okay?
Yeah. But something that I am extremely passionate now as a mother to my 4 children is just all these things that I felt like I didn't understand as a child about our faith and really making those things come alive to our children. My sisters are all wonderful mothers, and there's just so many great Catholics in the panhandle in our diocese. And so one thing that I would really like to do is celebrate what our families in the diocese are already doing. Because some of the best things that I've done with my children to help with our domestic church at home and help to really help them understand their faith and grow in their faith, I've learned from other parents. And so I think it would be really cool if we're able to create a community within all of the families in the diocese, whether that be through events or Facebook page with resources or a podcast in the future. Maybe we could highlight, what's your family doing? How do y'all pray? How do you help your children understand the Mass? What do you do to celebrate holy days? How do you, you know, I always give the example that on December 8th for the Immaculate Conception, we cook an all-white meal. Because, you know, sometimes the kids are like, do we have to go to church on a school day?
Yes.
You know, and we're like, yes, it's, you know, Holy Day of Obligation sounds so authoritative and you have to do it, right? But whenever we cook white macaroni and cheese with white bread, with cauliflower, with chicken, and we say we eat an all-white meal because Mary is pure and sinless, and that's why we're going to church. you know, it helps them understand what's going on. And so there's so many great things for families out there. I really want to figure out a way to get those resources to our families and then find out what your other families in your diocese are doing or in your parish are doing, and we can all really learn and share with each other.
And grow from those experiences mm-hmm. and make it even better and even stronger.
Yes.
Now, the first thing on your plate is coming up really quick. The Respect Life Mass, Saturday, January 24th, 10 o'clock, St. Mary's Cathedral at 1200 South Washington here in Amarillo. And you wrote an outstanding piece in the latest issue of the West Texas Catholic explaining why we should go to Mass.
Yes.
Jog your mind for just a minute and tell us a few of those points about why we need to have everybody there, people of faith, Catholics, etc., be at St. Mary's Cathedral on Saturday, January 24th at 10 a.m.
Yes. A huge reason for that, kind of touching on what I said earlier, is we have so much more power than we realize through the power of prayer. And the Mass and the Rosary are the most powerful prayers that we can do as Catholics and as Christians. So why not join together, right? Where multiple of us are together. So let's join together as a whole diocese and petition and knock on heaven's door and advocate for the pro-life cause. You know, Amarillo doesn't have like a Planned Parenthood anymore or a physical facility. And so sometimes it's hard to think about how can we advocate and how can we do things in Amarillo? But the landscape of abortion has been changing with the modern times as well. And so the physical facilities and the sidewalk petitioning and all of that, the game is just changing, right? And so where more than half of abortions are done with chemical abortion now, to me, that just spoke to the power of prayer, right? How do you stop the mail, or how do you, you know, prevent these things? And it's a lot harder to physically stop some of these things, but that's where we need to rely and trust that God has it. God can handle it. And so we need to do our part and pray and celebrate Mass together and really raise awareness. I mean, the Mass is a great time to raise awareness for people, Catholics, non-Catholics alike, and let them know the power of what we're doing.
Saturday, January 24th, 10 a.m., St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington. Not to quote the old Amarillo Dragway commercials, but be there, please. I'll add the please to that. We never heard please after an Amarillo Dragway spot. Yeah, it's much more considerate that way. Our paths first crossed, I believe it was 2013, maybe even been 2012 or 2014. We did a story in the huge Christmas issue one of those years called All the Single Ladies.
Yes.
Do you still keep up with those ladies that were in that class with you and Deacon Brian Lewis, his wife Cindy Lewis, all those years ago?
Yeah, it was a wonderful community of women. We always said the sad part was once you got married, you got kicked out.
No, that's true. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And my sisters, again, I mean, they all went to WT. We all worked the same college job, right? And so Cindy got to know our whole family. But I didn't start until I was engaged. So I was only there for a really short time, but it was very impactful, which branching off of that has made me think in this family life role, all the different populations, right? So we've got families, but then I've really been thinking a lot about when I was single and about the people who were single and how important that group has been for so many of us, and thinking, what can our diocese do for single people who are discerning or who are preparing for marriage? What can our office do for all of those people as well? Because that group was so meaningful.
You weren't there that long. Wow.
I wasn't.
Not there at all. But that was such a fun story, though, when we did that years ago. And I'm glad that we were able to connect then, and I'm glad that we're now able to connect now, and you're part of the Pastoral Center family. Now, once we get past the Respect Life Mass, then we got to start thinking about banquet.
Yes.
And I know you've got some ideas, Jenning, there. We just need to find ourselves a good speaker.
That's right. I've been working on that, too.
Good. See? She gets in, hits the ground running. We're so glad to have Carlin Hochstein with us. She is the new Family Life Director for the Diocese of Amarillo, our first guest of 2026 on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, brought to you by CAP and empowered by the Diocese of Amarillo. And the last word is yours.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me. Everyone here has been so welcoming. I would like to ask the diocese, please keep praying for me and everyone up here at the Pastoral Center. We're working very hard for our diocese and for the people. We're in a great area. I mean, I would never leave the Texas Panhandle. We're so devoted to being here. So I'm very honored to be able to serve our community and to be able to serve our families and advocate for pro-life causes.
So grateful that Carlin Hochstein came by and joined us earlier in this program. And we hope that you'll support her in her ministry as Family Life Director for the Diocese of Amarillo. All right, let's get you up to date with Diocesan News. Let's talk Cap'n for just a minute. The second season of Spiritual Arms, 5 Minutes for the Battle, comes back on Monday, February 16th, in about a month or so here on Cap'n. A new episode drops every Monday morning starting Monday, February 16th at 7 a.m. Kick off the work week with 5 Minutes of Faith hosted by Joshua Correa of St. Mary's Cathedral here in Amarillo. And go online to stcapn.com. Also, check out The Introverted Apostle with Roman Asbill and David Wilson. No, it's not a 90-second quiet program. These guys get into the heart and the matter of the Catholic faith. You'll enjoy it. If you haven't caught it yet, stcapn.com. The faithful throughout the Diocese of Amarillo, that would be you. Please save Saturday, January 31st on your calendars. Why? Because Bishop Patrick J. Zurich, by the grace of God, will ordain Deacon Mauricio Valadez to the Roman Catholic priesthood during a 10:30 a.m. Mass at St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington. Priests from the diocese will begin celebrating with Bishop Zurich. Deacons are asked to assist at the Mass. By the way, this is our first priestly ordination since Father Ryan Winger was ordained on June 1st, 2024. And you can find out more information about Deacon Valadez online, amarillodiocese.org, westtexascatholic.org, and on the front page of the latest issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper. 3 deanery centennial masses are taking place in February throughout our great diocese. The North Deanery will celebrate a mass Wednesday, February 4th, 6 p.m. at St. Peter and Paul Church at 915 South Maddox and Dumas. On Friday, February 6th, St. Hyacinth's Church, 4500 West Hills Trail here in Amarillo, the location for a centennial mass for the Central Deanery. And that'll start at 6 o'clock as well. The third of these 3 masses on Wednesday, February 11th, 6 p.m., for the East Deanery at St. Vincent de Paul Church at 810 West 23rd Street in Pampa. Reservations are still being accepted for an evening for married couples. That's Friday, February 13th, Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center at 2100 North Spring. The evening begins at 6 o'clock with a mass and vow renewal for Catholic couples. That'll be celebrated by Bishop Patrick J. Zurich. After that, a gourmet dinner and social, including desserts and beverages. It's $150 per couple. It is a fundraiser for the Retreat Center, so please be generous. Need to know more? Get in touch with Sister Elizabeth Ann Dockery at the Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center, 806-383-1811. Go online for more details, bdrc.org. But wait, we're not done with the Retreat Center. The following day, a Lenten Women's Prayer Brunch coming up, sponsored by Amarillo Rejoicers on Saturday, February 14th on the feast day of Saints Cyril and Methodius. Okay, Valentine's Day, 10 a.m. until noon at the Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center, once again, 2100 North Spring. It is a ticketed event. The tickets are $20 per person. You can get them at Top of Texas Catholic Superstore. That's at 2500 South Coulter in the signature. Seating is limited. Doors open at 9. It's the second of 3 women's prayer brunches this school year at the Retreat Center. The last one, the Mother's Day Prayer Brunch on Saturday, May 9th. Need to know more? BDRC.org or call the Retreat Center, 806-383-1811. Volunteers are needed at BSA Hospital as communion ministers. It's a commitment that really doesn't require a lot of time. Training will be provided. Get with Elma Fletcher. She has all the details, 806-206-4496. And I'm going to say this for the next 7 months, and you will be just as sick for the next 7 months hearing this and hearing us reminding you of this. Save Saturday, August 22nd on your calendars. The Diocese of Amarillo celebrating its centennial with a mass of Thanksgiving that morning, 10 o'clock, St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington. Look for more information coming in your favorite media source as we go forth. Hey, folks, don't forget to fill out the form at stcapn.com. We want to hear from you and make this podcast and the other great podcast programs and the ones that are coming soon, by the grace of God, better. So please fill out that form, stcapn at dioama.org, and make David Wilson's day. Hey, thank you for the privilege of your time. Have yourselves a fantastic day. Remember, abortion is not and never will be healthcare. Viva Cristo Rey.